Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to those of you who have come to realize that all of the world's religious, political, economic, military, and media institutions are corrupt, counterproductive, rotten to the core. I am Yada. Our number, if you want to join us anytime over the next 2 hours, toll-free, 877-300-7645. This is not a big item in the news, although it made the top 10 news statements in probably half of the news feeds that I survey each day. It reads, tens of thousands of protesters in the Macedonian capital of Skopje are demanding the resignation of long-serving Prime Minister Nikola Gruevski. Well, why would that be important? I mean, tens of thousands of people protesting and demanding the resignation of an elected official is fairly unique. It happens here and there around the world. And you look at the Ukraine, there were far fewer protesters than that. There were hundreds, maybe 1,000, not tens of thousands. And they were violent. They weren't peaceful protesters. And they overturned the popularly elected government. But here it's tens of thousands, and they're expecting as many as 100,000 protesters over the next few days, demanding the resignation of a popularly elected president. The reason that we care is that Macedonia is the most likely place from which the Torahless One, misknown to Christians as the Antichrist, is going to emerge. We say that because in Daniel, what we find is that there are two references to the locale, plus some added verbiage in terms of size and relative age, of the location from which the Torahless One is going to emerge. It references him growing out of the ultimate human menace, Rome. Rome as an empire was the greatest of all menaces to Yahweh's chosen place and to his chosen people. No empire in human history has been as vicious to those things Yahweh holds dear as Rome. But the Roman Catholic Church that grew out of it is the living incarnation of this beast, and why God speaks of the beast continuing to tread not only in a region of the world, the Mediterranean, but over the entire world right through the end of the tribulation. That's the Roman Catholic Church that emerged out of this beast. And so we know that the Torahless One is going to emerge from the nation that sent the destructive forces to destroy the temple. And that is Rome. They were three Roman legions. It's interesting that two of the three Roman legions actually were Macedonian. Now, when I say Macedonia, most people think of, the old country from which, affiliated with Greece, from which Alexander the Great emerged. And there was a Macedonia that dates to 300 BCE. But the modern incarnation of Macedonia is a very young country. It emerged out of the fall and ultimate divestiture of Yugoslavia. And so it's a landlocked country, a very small country that is very new in terms of its emergence on the scene, so new that the Greeks are having a conniption fit over their choice of names, choosing the old name Macedonia for a new country. So it meets those two criterion as well, that it is a small country, that it is a new country, and the third, that it is emerged out of the forces. It's located within the reach of the forces that destroyed the temple. In fact, two of the three legions actually came from Macedonia. But there is another reference a little later in Daniel to the fact that the Torahless one is going to emerge out of the territories that were conquered by Alexander the Great. Now, Alexander is not great by character standards. He was a bum. But certainly in terms of his ability to be merciless and to execute war, he was a great fighter. And Alexander's conquest, the territory that he trespassed and covered and controlled, never went further north nor further west than Macedonia, his homeland. So, since it has to be the intersection of these two empires, Rome and Alexander the Great, the most likely place is Macedonia, particularly since the nation has to be young and small. Countries like Turkey don't work because Turkey, while it is still fairly young, the current incarnation of Turkey is a product of the conquest, that the consequence really of World War I, where the Ottoman Turk Empire became overthrown and the country was renamed Turkey. But it's large. And so it's large in size and in population, so it doesn't qualify. And if you go through all of the other countries that overlap the conquest of Rome, and Rome didn't control all of present-day Turkey. They constantly battled and fought to a draw, sometimes to a defeat, the Persians. So you don't have Rome going in very far in that direction. And you don't have Alexandria going any closer to Rome than Macedonia. The overlap, and the only country that fits every one of the requirements, is Macedonia. So when there's major unrest in Macedonia, we ought to pay attention, because it is highly likely, I think extraordinarily likely, that the Torahless one is going to be a Macedonian. So 10,000 people are requesting that the prime minister, whose first name is Nikola, resigns. Gruvinsky being his last name. The interesting thing about Nikola is, remember Yosha saying, beware of the Nicolaitans, and that he was praising the Ephesian called out assembly because they did not capitulate to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And it is assumed that means that they didn't follow a little known individual called Nicholas. But I don't think that's the case at all. I think that he references the Nicolaitans for two reasons. One is that it was at Nicaea that Christianity, as it is practiced today, was conceived. It is when Arius, the lone holdout to, you can't create the totality of God out of someone that you're going to call after a Greek name. Man can't be the totality of God. At the very most you can say is that Yosha was begotten, that he is from and part of and derived from God, Yahweh. And yet you can't create a religion like that, because Christianity is wholly separated from Yahweh and his testimony, and therefore there was this need to create a unique Christian God. A Christian God based upon Greek ideals, based upon Dionysus. And it was at Nicaea that this was done. Now, the reason I mentioned Nicaea is named after the same individual, the same Greek God, the Greek God of victory, that Nikola is named. And so Nicaea is the land of the Greek God of victory, and it was the Greek religion's triumph over the Torah and Yahweh's testimony at the city named in the Greek god's honor, Nicaea, that Christianity was conceived. And so he is saying, in essence, I'm pleased that you have not acquiesced to Christianity. It's amazing that Christians aren't able to make the connection between Nicolaitans and Nicaea, but they don't. So anyway, that's this fellow's name. It says the rally follows the release by opposition of covert recordings which appear to show ministers plotting vote rigging and the cover-up of a murder. All right. So the opposition has wiretapped the government. And in the government, they are engaged in plotting vote rigging and murder. It's the very kind of thing that you would expect the Torahless one to do. Yahweh said, don't make a habit of bearing false testimony. And he talks about don't make a habit of killing. So what do politicians do if they're going to represent the adversary? They're going to usurp people's free will, which is what the adversary knows best, by precluding their choices from mattering. And they're going to lie, cheat, and steal as it relates to their behavior when empowered. And, of course, there's always murder. The government, of course, denies these allegations, but they're on record in their voice in recordings talking about them, trying to cover it up. Adding to the political instability, last weekend, eight police officers and 14 ethnic Albanian fighters were killed in clashes in the country. Crowds have gathered outside the prime minister's residence. And demonstrations are carrying both Albanian and Macedonian flags. Albania is primarily Islamic. Police in riot gear are stationed near the protests. Yes, that's the thing that governments are going to do more and more. It's what we see in the United States. The police showing up as military in military gear and in riot gear, making it impossible for people to protest. In 2001, Macedonia came to the brink of civil war when armed rebels demanded greater rights for the Albanian minority, which makes up about a quarter of Macedonia's 2.1 million population. The opposition leader has been releasing a steady stream of recordings. You know, it's just like Erdogan in Turkey, who's having a conniption fit that he and his sons are having their dirty laundry aired when they're scamming the people, and they're blaming the opposition for being the scammers when all they're doing is revealing the testimony, the conversations between Erdogan and his sons. The same thing is true here. The elected officials are blaming the opposition for releasing their testimony, when in fact what's the problem here is that their testimony is incriminating. I always say that, you know, if you don't want your own words and deeds to convict you, then you really ought not have said or done the things that are being used to embarrass you. But you know how religious leaders are. They always want to blame somebody else for their bad behavior, such is the case in Macedonia. The opposition party is accusing the government of wiretapping 20,000 people, including politicians, journalists, and religious leaders. In other words, they're doing the same thing that America is doing through the NSA. The government has realized that since it's corrupt, that the people are going to ultimately rebel against it, and the best way to keep the people suppressed lying to them, beyond indoctrinating them, which is happening in America, is to spy on them. And so that you can either find the person's dirty laundry and compromise them, or you can create dirty laundry and make it appear credible and undermine them. It's what's happening in Macedonia. It's exactly what you would expect the Torahless one to do. They have said that scores of leaked recordings reveal corruption at the highest levels of government, including the mismanagement of funds, thievery, dubious criminal prosecutions of opponents, and even the cover-ups of killings. This is really reading like what we expect to see more and more in the United States. Killing, covering up, criminal prosecutions of opponents that are jury-rigged with very dubious evidence. And, of course, mismanaging the funds. It's not just mismanaging the funds, it's stealing from the public treasury. He argues that the abuse of power is so serious that the prime minister has to resign and call new elections. Opposition parties have boycotted the parliament since accusing the government of fraud in 2014. The government, of course, is saying that all of this is not internal rebellion, but a foreign nation using its spy agencies trying to overthrow his conservative government. So you've got a liberal government out there using its spy apparatus to overturn his country. You know, there is a liberal government in the world that is very prone to using its spy network and its State Department to overturn conservative governments. That would be Obama Nation in the United States. Well, now that we have covered one of the two garden spots of the world, Macedonia, which, by the way, I would encourage you to look at the pictures because I want you to look at the flag of Macedonia and to see what it is that they revere. And what you will find is that it is a sun with the beams of light coming out from the sun like sunbursts, like the halos that you would see over religious figures, that the sun is being presented as God, and that even in their national anthem, they hail the sun. And it is out of this environment, by the way, that you're going to see the Taurus one prevailed. He's going to create the illusion of harmony in his little country among 2 million people. And he's going to parlay that into harmony with a couple of three smaller neighbors. And then parlay that into a confederacy of 10 nations, probably Southern European Union nations. And then to world dominance. All is going to take place over the next, 10 to 12 years. So stay tuned. All right, from one garden spot to another, we turn to the garden spot of America, Waco, Texas. Waco. Police in the U.S. state of Texas, according to the BBC, have found 9 people have been killed and at least 165 have been arrested after a shootout between rival biker gangs in Waco, Texas, at the classiest of all restaurants, Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks is like Hooters, where they're making a pun at a portion of the female anatomy. It's a really classy joint for those of you who have not, like myself, been to a Twin Peaks. We'll be back in a moment. If you are one of those that believes in UFOs, then you're wackier than the Wacoians. There is a 0% possibility that our planet has been visited by extraterrestrials. Now you say, how do I know that? Because I know a thing or two about physics. I know that it is impossible for any material body to travel to even approach the speed of light. Ultimately, it takes an infinite amount of energy to move, accelerate something physical to the brink of the speed of light. And there's no source of ultimate energy other than Yahweh. And number two, as a physical body accelerates, it expands. And so a physical body moving at the, even approaching the speed of light, would expand to fill the universe. It's not possible. And then they say, well, but what about warping of time? You can't warp time. That's science fiction. What about wormholes? Well, wormholes are science fiction, too. Well, what about, flying through a black hole? You can't get out if you head into a black hole. Plus, you'd be crushed along the way. There are no wormholes. There's no warping of time. There are no passages through black holes. It is all part of science fiction to make space cowboy movies like Star Wars and Star Trek work. And so there's a 0% possibility that a life form on another planet has come to visit our planet. So you're not seeing, is it possible that people have seen a unidentified flying object? Yeah. Happens all the time. It's something you'd see and you can't identify it. And I know my aircraft pretty well. A lot of times I can't identify what the aircraft is. That does not make it alien. So, good grief. If that's your fascination, I would strongly encourage you to find something vastly more useful and credible. Well, speaking of unuseful, the incident at the Twin Peaks Sports Bar and Grill in the Central Texas Marketplace, which is in Waco, Texas, there were at least 18 that were wounded, 9 that killed, and 165 arrested. The police said it turned the restaurant car park outside the restaurant into a war zone. It might be a car park in Britain. It's a parking lot in America. There were maybe 30 guns being fired in the parking lot, maybe 100 rounds. It was the biggest shootout in the history of Central Texas. Diners at the Twin Peaks Cafe said, well, now it's a cafe as opposed to a sports bar and pub, and the staff locked themselves in a freezer for safety before being escorted off the premises by police. Waco police said the shooting happened shortly after midday because the rival gangs got into a fight over something really important. They got into a fight over the credibility of Paul and the Christian New Testament. No. They got into a fight over the true nature of Islam and it being a criminal enterprise. No. They got into a fight over the counterproductive nature of the U.S. government. No, that wasn't it. You know what they got in a fight over, Scott?
No
parking
idea.
Spots. Parking places for their motorcycles.
I guess we're going to fight for something.
No, you're going to fight for something. You might as well fight for a parking spot. Because the last thing you'd want to do if you're going to fight is to have to walk 10 feet.
Well, hey, I don't even know what to say to that. That's amazing.
Yep. Yep. They were fighting over a parking space near the restaurant. And this is a classy joint, of course, Twin Peaks. Police spokesman Sergeant W. Patrick Swanson said that the fight started with punches. Okay. So, you know, you don't like that somebody parked in a spot that was closer to the restaurant than the spot that you had to park in. So it started with punches. And then it escalated to something that I carry with me on a regular basis. If we were to start, you know, with a fight, and then we begin with punches, the thing that I would escalate it to is chains. Because I find a lot of need to carry chains just so that I could escalate from punches. How about you?
This story gets better and better.
Yeah, chains. If you're carrying chains for the purpose of escalating a fight from fisticuffs, it tells me that there's something wrong with you. I mean, I can't imagine using a chain to pummel somebody in a beneficial way.
Honestly, I feel like you're making this whole story up.
No. Like, no. Yeah. Okay, then from chains, it escalated to clubs.
What? That's the natural progression, I guess.
And then from clubs, it escalated to knives.
Well, one, both these guys are very tough because they've already been through a lot.
Yeah. And then finally to guns. So I think here, since you can't necessarily blame the gun, this is going to be tough for the anti-gun people, you were going to first have to ban fists, because that's how it began. And then after you began fists, then you've got to take the chains off your bicycles, because you can't have chains. You can't have chainsaws anymore. So you're gonna have to ban chains and then clubs. I know, where do you stop on clubs? You go all the way to golf clubs. How about the clubs, the suit and the card deck? You're going to ban the ace of clubs? I don't know where you draw the line on clubs. And then knives. And of course, there's butter knives, there's cooking knives, there's fillet knives, there's steak knives. I mean, where do you draw the line on this stuff?
This is like. If you can't make this stuff up. If this scene played out in a movie, everybody like, that is
wild. Oh, come on, that's not credible. Okay, we're going to escalate now. Everybody, okay, you've used your fist. It's now time to bring out the chain.
Oh, okay, my chain.
Okay, now drop the chains, change partners, and we're going to clubs. Okay, now time to be setting down your clubs again. Rotate through and find a different partner, and we'll go with knives.
I'm picturing the cartoon where, like, Yosemite Sam's pulling out weapons, and, like, Bugs Bunny's just pulling out the same weapon, you know. I got a chain. Well, I got one, too. I got a club. I got one, too.
I got one, too.
You know what needs to be banned? Parking places.
Parking places. That or motorcycles.
There you go.
You know, we've gone near banned parking spots because the American Disability Act, the ADA Act, has made certain that all the best parking spots are already designated for the handicapped. And, I just get a kick out of it because I look at it and say, first of all, why would you take all the best spots? Why would you have five times more of them than you need? And why are they twice as big as the rest of the parking spots? And why are 90% of the people who use them not handicapped? It really does. It pisses me off when the whole ADA handicapped parking spot, big fines, when most of the people, the vast preponderance of the people that use them, aren't physically handicapped. Morally handicapped, mentally handicapped for sure. But not physically handicapped. Anyway, that's the story with parking spots in my rant for the other day. Police say that at least five biker gangs were involved in the bloody shootout. There's actually two involved, and they're allies. The two biker gangs that were going at it with fisticuffs and then, the progression, were the Cossacks, which were allied with the Scimitars, and the Banditos. Okay, so
I'm calling BS. It's a made-up story. I don't know what you did this weekend, but
I have way too much time on my. No, this is really true. I'm not making this up. Really, this happened. Listen, Waco was put on lockdown. You've got I-35 up there in the land of Minnesotans.
Yep.
Well, it begins down in southern Texas, and it links. Not San Antonio, but Austin, which is the spiritual capital of Texas, where the University of Texas is, goes right through Waco and up through Dallas-Fort Worth, and then continues north all the way to Minneapolis. And they shut down I-35, the police did. The police showed up in riot gear. They sent out every manner of message to people and said, you're quarantined, your houses, don't go outside. Yeah. Didn't the police and the paramilitary units of the United States overreact to something else in Waco? Wasn't it a case where the Branch Davidians were thought to have had a non-compliant shotgun? That there was something about their collection of shotguns, of gaming guns, that was non-compliant, and the ATF sent in a armed raid to confiscate their non-compliant shotguns, and it ended up being tanks rolling through buildings and killing women and children. That took place in Waco too, didn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So this time we have.
This is the greatest action movie ever. Right. This is the best action movie ever. I'm turning this into a movie. I'm going to start.
Rambo does Waco. Rambo goes Waco.
Look, you got guns, you got chains, you got knives, motorcycles. If this isn't the best action
movie ever. Parking places and Twin Peaks. You know, you got to throw in the Twin Peaks for sizzle, right?
I'm gonna start writing it today.
Okay. And of course you have the Cossacks. You know who the Cossacks are?
Yes, I do know who the Cossacks are.
The Ruskies. So you even got a Rusky intrigue here. The Cossacks are Ruskies. My guess is that in Central Texas there aren't any Ruskies, but the Cossacks are the Rough Riders. They were horsemen. In Russia, that were like American cowboys, except they were just a little more rugged. And the Cossacks were are Russian, so their slogan is that they turned in their horse for a motorcycle. And then, of course, you've got the Banditos. The Banditos are an outgrowth of veterans from the Vietnam War era. And so they're comprised of Vietnam War veterans. I've got more on this story because you're going to want to know the details as you flesh out your plot de jour.
Right.
Okay, we'll be back. Here's the Banditos Motorcycle Club. I don't know if club is a double entendre here and that was their third item of choice, was founded during the Vietnam era in 1966 by Vietnam War veteran Donald Chambers. He founded the club, the Banditos, in San Leon, Texas. So it's Texas bred and born, according to one of its websites. The gang's motto is, "We are the people our parents warned us about." It's a patch their patch is a man in a sombrero with a machete and a pistol. I mean, nothing says productive citizen, good all around and fun loving guy than a picture of a man with a machete in one hand and a pistol in the other. So that's you're going to get the details right. That's their logo. It has spread to more than 100 chapters throughout the United States and international chapters. Oh, this is an international club with chapters in Germany, Austria. I bet the Germans just love this stuff. Denmark, France, Italy, Sweden, Norway, Malaysia, Indonesia, Singapore, Costa Rica, and Belgium. According to the FBI, the Banditos constitute a growing criminal threat to U.S. law enforcement authorities, and they estimate that the Banditos are one of the two largest OMGs operating in the U.S. An OMG. I wonder if that's, what is the big threat according to the conspiracy people, GMOs, genetically GMOs. This, you know, maybe we got an insight here. OMG is GMO backwards. With approximately 900 members belonging to 93 chapters, maybe they got their DNA spliced in reverse. That's what caused them to be so charming. The Banditos are involved in transporting and distributing cocaine and marijuana and are involved in the production, transportation, and distribution. Boy, there are businessmen here. These are entrepreneurs of methamphetamines. The Banditos are the most active in the Pacific, Southeastern, Southwestern, and West Central regions of the United States. The Banditos, however, are expanding in each of these regions by forming additional chapters and allowing members of supporting clubs, known as puppets or duck members, to have sworn allegiance to another club who support the dirty work of the mother club. According to other Bandito chapters. That's according to the ultimate lame duck, the FBI. Now, they were one of the two that started this. fight. The others were the Cossacks. They were founded in Texas also in 1969. They the club's colors are gold and black, and its patch features a Cossack, which is a nomadic horseman and warrior from Ruski. Its motto is, "We take care of our own." The Cossacks say that they traded the horses ridden by their warriors 400 years ago for motorcycles, though there is doubt that any members descended from actual Russian Cossacks. The encyclopedia tells us tongue-in-cheek. There you go, Scott. That's all I know about all of this. And, of course, it's, you know, all about what's occurring in Waco, Texas.
I'm going to start a motorcycle club. The motto is going to be, "We park here."
We park here. And we take care of our own. The scimitars, by the way, you didn't ask about the scimitars. The scimitars are allied with the Cossacks. And so what you have here is you've got some international appeal. Scimitar is the weapon of the Muslims. And the banditos, of course, is that's a Hispanic name. So you got the Mexican drug cartels that tie in there. And, of course, the Cossacks are Ruskis. So a little international intrigue here in your plot.
This is the best story ever.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm almost in tears. I'm laughing. This is hilarious to me.
We are getting posts, though, on the Facebook page for the Scattering Myths site saying, "How dare you make fun of Texas? It isn't Waco, it's Waco." Yes, I know, but even Wacoians don't like Waco. You know, I've been there a lot. There are a couple of things to like about Waco, Texas. One of them is the Baylor University. It's a beautiful campus. Boy, they have really spent a fortune there, and the architecture there is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. Beautiful, beautiful campus. And the other is they really have a nice zoo.
I hear it's a great place for chicken wings. You're riding a motorcycle.
The rest of it. You know, you really you got too much influence of the Branch Davidians and motorcycle gangs for my taste.